see where he's at, see how he's doing, and then kind of go from there. So that's really all I can tell you right now relative to Brian.
I was glad
to see him.
How good is Tevin back?
Yeah, good guy, great guy. You know, you guys know what I feel about Brian Cushing. You know,
healthy. You know, he's been working out like crazy. So if he's ready to go,
I don't know anything, John. I mean, I'm not a savant. I mean, we'll
he's in great shape.
Well, I think being in football playing shape and being in shape are two totally different things, really. You know, there's no assumptions being made here. I think the first thing we got to do is, you know, see how he's doing. You know, we got to sit down. We're not in a rush to do anything. You know, I think, you know, we got a lot of guys playing right now at a pretty high level on defense. So we'll see how Brian's doing and we'll go from there.
Bill, are you thinking of a quarterback change?
No. Not right now, no.
With Brian, for him to miss as many games as he did, for the reason that he did, with football being such a team sport, do you as a coach feel like that's letting the team down in any way?
You know, look, I think I want to give you a good answer here, Matt. I don't know the details of everything. You know, I know that Brian feels, I'm sure he would stand up here and tell you that he feels, in some ways he feels bad that happened, obviously. But the way that I feel about Brian Cushing, I'm not going to go down that road. You know, I think that everybody makes mistakes. And, you know, sometimes you pay for your mistakes in different ways. And, but, you know, he's meant a lot to me in my 4 years here. And, he's a tough guy. Been a captain for us. So I'm just looking forward to, you know, sitting down with him and talking to him and kind of seeing where he's at with everything.
When you went back and watched the tape, on those two interceptions, what do you think Tom saw on those plays?
I don't know. Those weren't good decisions. I thought he made some really good decisions last night. I really did, but those two were not good decisions. And so we got to go back. I haven't seen, you know, we got back late or early, however you look at it. And I haven't sat down and watched the tape with him yet, but I will. And we'll see, you know, what we can do to coach him better, John. What's that?
What happened to the plane?
I don't know. I'm not in charge of travel. I have no idea.
When you study Tom's interceptions, is there a commonality that you see with them? In other words, is there something that you look at, well, if we can correct this specifically, maybe we can make them go away?
You know, I think one of the key components of playing quarterback is, and I think there's been times when he's been really good at this, is you have to pre-snap gain as much information as you can, especially in certain situations, meaning like third down, low red area. Sometimes you're going fast and that's not possible, but on key situations you have to try to gain as much as you can before the ball's snapped, and then when the ball's snapped you have to confirm what you've seen. And that's a big deal. You can't just assume that what you saw before the ball was snapped is what it's going to be post-snap, and I think that's a big component of something that's very, very difficult to execute and very difficult to coach. And you have to drill it, and that's what we're going to continue to do.
How do you work with quarterbacks on making good decisions? Is that something you can coach them on, or is that something that's more instinctive?
No, there's absolutely no doubt that you can coach them on it. I mean, there's no doubt. It's a great question. I mean, you can set up drills, you can watch tape, you can. But in the end, there's definitely instincts that take over. And the process of thinking, you know, quickly. There's other things we can do schematically, you know, I think to help. Look, that's a top five defense in the NFL. You know, look, I'm not saying that we had 500 yards. We moved the ball, but the problem was we turned it over and we were 1-for-4 in the red area. And if you do that, you got no shot of winning in this league. No shot, no matter how close the game is, especially if you're not getting any takeaways on defense. So, you know, we got to try to flip that script, and that's what we're going to try to do.
Why do you think Tom has been so susceptible to the strip sack?
Well, I think there's been different types of strip sacks. I really do. I think the one last night, I mean, he had no shot. I mean, that guy was there, and, there were times where we chipped sizzle. Sometimes we didn't. He made a couple plays on us, no doubt about it. And that one right there, we didn't really lay a glove on him. So I don't think Tom had really a prayer on that one. But other times, in other games, Tom's got to do a better job of protecting the ball, no doubt about it.
Bill, can you pinpoint in your mind why Tom is making
making those bad decisions, throwing the picks at the stage where he's at right now, that sort of thing?
Yeah, no, I can't. If I could, I would tell you, like, we would have a quick solution. But like I said, we're going to sit down and watch the tape and, you know, see if we can get it corrected. It has to get corrected, because if not, we're going to have to go in a different direction. But we're going to really sit down and study it and try to make the correction.
So you guys are entering December with a pretty tough schedule ahead of you: Tennessee, Jacksonville, Pittsburgh. How important is it for everyone to stick together and keep it moving forward as much as you can?
Yeah, I don't worry about that. I really don't, Brian. I mean, I think that these guys really care about each other. I think they're tough. I think they practice hard. I think there's great professionals in that locker room. I mean, I don't really worry about that. We got a good coaching staff that I believe has the respect of the players. I think we respect the players as a coaching staff. They respect us, and they're going to go out and play hard, you know. And, you know, we've lost a bunch of games, you know, by less than a touchdown, and we got to try to, you know, come out, you know, in the better end of those games, you know what I mean? We just haven't played well, you know, in certain stretches in some of those games. We have to try to, you know, play better.
Clowney and Hopkins are both having, if not career years, I mean, you know, all pro caliber years. What are you seeing out of those two guys specifically in terms of their daily focus, their intensity, just playing at the highest level possible, even when the team's not winning?
Yeah, no, I think it's look, those two guys are great players. You start with Hopkins. I mean, really, the ball went to him 10 times. It probably should have gone to him 20 times. You know, I think it's very, very difficult to cover him. I don't care how you try to cover him. I mean, I think he's one of the best guys that I've ever coached at that position. And if you go back and look at who I've coached at that position, it's a pretty good list. And he's got great hands. He's a great competitor on game day. Got a great ability to make catches away from his body, get 2 feet down, can run any route, can line him up anywhere, and he knows what to do. Clowney, you know, I said this to you guys for a long time when he first got here. He was injured. You know, he was injured, you know what I mean? He jumped up to bat a pass his rookie year, very first game out here against the Redskins. Had tweaked his knee. Then he had a brutal concussion the following year in training camp versus Denver in a scrimmage. You know, he's healthy, and him being healthy and the way that he plays the game, he's one of the best in football. You can line him up anywhere. You can do anything you want with the guy from a football schematic standpoint, because he understands football. He's a very, very instinctive player, and that's why he's having the year that he has. And he plays the game. People get mad at me when I use the word violent, but he plays the game in a very explosive, violent way, and it's good for our team.
Has he almost been the leader on defense, or becoming one of your deep locker room leaders?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, he's on a leadership council. I've made him a game captain a few times. You know, I think we have great leaders over there. I really do. I think, you know, I don't think he's the only one, but I think there's no doubt that he has a leadership role over there. I think obviously Jonathan Joseph has a leadership role over there, you know, but then you look at, you know, Bernardrick McKinney and DJ Reader, you know, Kareem Jackson, those guys. I mean, there's some really good leaders on that side of the ball, but JD's definitely one of them.
With DeAndre last night in particular, he, I think it was 7 catches, 126 yards. He was on the injury report all last week with a foot, and the physical style of game, I mean, I think at one point his jersey was hanging off of him. Can you just speak to his toughness, DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah, there's no, he's a very, very tough player, very competitive, tough player. You know, I'm not going to go down the road of why his jersey was ripped, but I'm sure you can watch the tape, Matt, and figure it out on your own. I mean, it's every route that he runs is versus, virtually every route that he runs is versus tight coverage. And he's just a very, very tough guy. He's a very competitive guy. He wants the ball. He wants the ball in every play, every pass play. He wants the ball, and that's what makes him who he is.
How valuable is it to have a guy who not only is putting up those receiving yards, but has drawn 50 yards of pass interference?
It's huge. You know when you can take a shot down the field that, you know, there's a chance that something good's going to happen. You know, he's either obviously going to catch the ball, or maybe you can draw a penalty. Sometimes he's had some OPIs, you know, because he plays. He's a battler. You know, like I said, he's always in tight coverage. It's rare you go back and watch the tape and somebody's playing like 10 yards off of him. Like, that's very rare. And so there's a lot of battles at the top of the route, and so it's good to have a guy that you know that can do those things.
Jadeveon Clowney's hit on number 87. It's boiled. Did that fire you guys up? Up on the sideline when you guys saw that?
I mean, I saw it on tape, Aaron. You know what I mean? I don't know how much I really saw it during the game. You know, I'm working with the quarterbacks and have that defensive guys on the headset listening to what's going on. But, it was a great, great hit.
Left tackle. Is Chris in this situation?
And yeah.
What's his situation?
Yeah, they're both injured, John. You know, they're both injured. We may, yep, we may. We may. We're going to talk about that this afternoon. There's other things we can do. There's other things we can do at that position. But those two guys are still on the injury report. There's no doubt about it.
You know, how difficult is this for you, 11 games in, that you said if you don't get these things corrected with Tom, you may have to go in a different direction to be in that situation now, the decisions you may have to make going forward this deep into the season?
I mean, I don't know. I don't look at it that way, Mark. I really don't. I mean, these are we want Tom to do well. Like, Tom's a good guy. He works hard. He prepares. I mean, nobody can watch the film and say that he hasn't had good moments. I mean, last night, he threw some dimes, you know, but like, look, like, we can't turn it over. So, you know, we got to stop doing that. Not all of them have been his fault. I want to make that clear. It's not one guy's fault, but that position in this league is a very important position. And you've got to play consistent. You got to be a leader. And, you know, every week's a battle. This week's a big battle. It's AFC South battle. But I don't look at it like that. I think, I think there's a lot of drama in the NFL right now. There's no drama back there. It's football. We put together plays. We put together a game plan. We make the decisions in the best interest of the team. We love the guys we coach. We just keep coaching them. We're grinders. We just try to keep coaching, and the players are that way too. So I don't look at it as difficulty or anything like that. It's just that's our job. That's football.
Talk about his physical toughness. He got hit 8 times. He's been hit a lot, even though he hasn't been sacked a lot.
Say that again, John. I'm sorry.
He hasn't been sacked a lot lately, but he got hit 8 times.
Oh, he's a tough guy. Yeah, no, he's tough. He's a tough guy. He's taken some shots over the years here when he's been in there, especially, you know, this year. There's no doubt about Tom's toughness. I thought he did some good things. I mean, you know, he ran hard. You know, it's tough to run the ball against those guys. He, you know, Blue, he's playing a little bit banged up. Blue's a tough guy, and I thought he did some, you know, it was decent. I mean, he rushed for 15 yards, you know what I mean? So it wasn't, but I mean, he ran hard, though.
The 2 4th-and-1 calls by the Ravens, a fake punt. How do you look at that, especially when you watch the tape? Is that where the overall you have to be better prepared in those situations and not be caught off guard, or is that football being football? Or?
I would tell you, Brian, when you look at the fake punt, I'm not sure what you tell that guy how to defend that. You know, he's one-on-one out there. I mean, Marcus was there. The guy looked off Bruce, the returner, looked him to the right, threw it to the left. It was good. You got to give the Ravens credit there. The guy just kind of looped it out there and let the guy run underneath it. I mean, I don't know what, you know, that's a tough one, you know, to just say, hey, look, Marcus, you got to do this better. I mean, you know, he's blocking a gunner for a return. He's not thinking about, he understands that they have punter pass in their repertoire, but it's a tough situation. So we got to look at that and try to help our players as best we can in that situation. I think that part of the field, and it was 4th and 6, you know, probably need to think about it from a coaching standpoint. You better expect something like that, especially from them. They do a great job on that stuff. And then the 4th and 1, you know, we're loaded up to stop the run, and it was a great call. Ravens made a good call there, and, you know, they got us on a flip play.
How hard is it to do what you want to do, considering how many guys you're playing that ordinarily wouldn't be playing, straight free agents, undrafted free agents, a lot of guys?
I don't enjoy, you know, obviously none of us enjoy losing, but we do enjoy coaching and getting guys prepared, especially guys that are coachable. You know, this is like probably the first team in my 4 years here that, you know, every single guy in the locker room, every single guy is like extremely coachable. Like, you can't wait to get to work no matter what's going on. And, you know, you didn't win the game. You're upset about not winning the game. You got to turn the page because these guys are hungry to learn. They want whether they're a 12-year guy or a first-year guy or whatever. I don't really give a I got to be careful. I could care less where they were drafted or what street they came from, or I mean, I really could. I couldn't. I just want them to be coachable and play hard on Sundays for us and play smart, and that's what we have in our locker room. So that's why we, you know, we feel terrible when we lose because, you know, these guys are playing their butts off for us.
You guys always play hard, even when you lose. What is the key as coaches to continue to get them to do that under dire circumstances?
Yeah, I think you got to bring in the right guys. You got to have the right guys. You know, you got to have high character guys that, you know, I mean, these games are close. You know, you have to have the right guys in the locker room that can withstand, that have the mental toughness to come and practice and play hard every week. That's what we have in there. What's that?
When did you get it this morning?
I don't know, Amy, like 4:30 or something? 6 a.m. What does it matter once it's past 3, right?
Is that from what you were supposed to?
That's my motto.
Huh? Like 3 hours
late.
Yeah. I have no idea. I really don't. I'm not. That's a question for somebody else. I promise you, I have no idea. I was watching the game, eat a turkey sandwich, have a Coors Light. When we land, we land. You know what I mean? I don't have anything to do with... You know what I mean?
Carved.
No, it was already carved. You guys good? All right.